the committee would come to order, please. This is the Senate State Affairs Committee. It is the first meeting of the committee in this legislative session. It's January 24th, 2006, approximately 3:30 in the afternoon. We have one bill before us today. It is House Bill 83. It's my understanding that the prime sponsor is on her way. This is a bill that would extend the sunset date on the Alaska Seismic Hazards and Safety Commission. And Representative Ledoux, if you would take the seat. We have just started the meeting, and if you want to just give us an overview of the bill, and then I see that we do have the commissioner here to also testify.
Thank you. For the record, I'm Representative Gabrielle Ledoux, and I'm sponsoring the CS for House Bill 83. Chairman Theriault and members of the Senate State Affairs Committee, thank you very much for hearing this bill. Basically, this is a simple bill. It extends the life of the Seismic Commission, and it also adds tsunamis to the purview of the commission. The Legislative Budget and Audit Committee originally recommended against extending the life of this commission because it wasn't a functioning commission. Somehow or other, it had fallen between the cracks, and neither Governor Knowles or Governor Murkowski had ever appointed anybody to the commission. Well, as of this interim, the commission has been fully, all of the commission members have been appointed, and they've already had two meetings already, so it is a functioning commission, and I believe a number of the commissioners are actually here online today, will be able to tell you what they've been doing for those last two meetings and what they intend to be doing. The only other thing that it's important to note about this bill is that it increased the number of members of the commission from 9 to 11 in order to have more local representation. Thank you.
Okay, in addition, if they see sprinkled throughout the text, you're adding tsunamis.
That's correct. Yes, that is correct.
To the commission.
Yes.
And for the members, because last year when the legislation passed the House, the membership had still not been filled. If you look on page 3, we've got some contingent language and conditional effect. Section 6 of the bill extended the commission for a period of 1 year. Okay. However, if in fact the appointments were to be made, then Section 7 of the bill kicked in and the extension would have been till 2008.
That's correct.
So now that the appointments have been made, if we decide to move ahead, we need to just strip out a bunch of that and decide exactly how long we want to extend the commission.
That's correct. The contingency language no longer really is applicable.
And there's not a problem with stripping that all out because the title of the bill just talks about an effective date. So it's a fairly broad title. Always a dangerous thing to send to the Senate, but I don't know that there's a lot of mischief that we can play with this one. So, do members of the committee have questions for Representative Ledoux? Go ahead.
Thanks, Mr. Chair, and thanks, Representative Ledoux, for this. I'm going to articulate a concern and then you can respond to it. I guess I had assumed that tsunami would be covered by seismic events, because a tsunami directly results from seismic activity. And so a concern that I have is that by adding tsunami, if in fact it's already covered, we may be excluding other events that can happen from a seismic event. And I'm thinking, for example, of something that nearly every winter now comes home to us, and that's avalanches. That a seismic event could cause an avalanche that could cause extensive property damage or personal injury or even death. And so I'm a little bit concerned that if in fact seismic covers tsunami, that by adding tsunami, we may be now excluding other events that may be triggered by a seismic event, like an avalanche.
You know, I guess that's a good point. I mean, the way I originally read the bill, I thought that there might be a need to mention tsunamis particularly. I think that may have had something to do with the tsunami in Asia, which occurred at just about the time that I introduced this bill. But I really haven't discussed with legal whether or not tsunami, whether seismic would be broad enough to include the tsunamis without the actual wording of tsunami.
It's a concern, Mr. Chair, that I think the bill is great. I think it's great that we have experts that can work on these kind of events. I just would hate to see us do something that could potentially narrow the scope of their activity or the recommendations that they might make.
Well, that certainly wasn't the intent of the bill, to narrow things.
You're right, Senator Allen. And there is that rule. If you start a list and you don't put something on the list, is it then inferred then that it was intentionally left off the list? So, other questions for the prime sponsor? Seeing none, thank you. We'll turn now to Commissioner, were you intending to, if you'd come forward?
Thank you, Senator. For the record, I'm Michael Menge, Commissioner Designate for the Department of Natural Resources. I just wanted to stop by this afternoon and lend our support to this bill. One of the things that strikes me about earthquakes and tsunamis is once one has struck, there's a tremendous amount of thought and response to it. But as the event begins to fade from memory, the activities associated with preparedness tend to fade as well. It's this commission's responsibility, with our support, to be ever mindful of the activities which can occur and keep it at the forefront, and to make sure when opportunities present itself to provide their input. I think the most glaring example after the Good Friday earthquake that I'm aware of is the 2002 earthquake along the Denali Fault. We had planned in design and construction of the TAPS line. This was an area of active seismic activity, but there had been no discernible movement along that fault for many, many years. And the designers decided that while there was no indication, this was an active fault zone and should be considered. So they designed the TAPS line as it went across that fault system. In 2002, the event occurred. It was nearly a magnitude 8. And the pipe moved almost 20 feet, yet there was no diminishment in throughput, and the effects of that thought ahead of time saved the state hundreds of millions of dollars and the attenuating environmental consequence associated with a rupture of the pipeline. So this is a very important issue, and I can wholeheartedly support the extension, and will make sure that DNR, as the staff to the commission, keep them ever mindful of the need to actively participate. And that's really all I wanted to say today, and say it's important, we support it. And as I understand from our folks in Fairbanks, that there's no fiscal note associated with this, that they're able to accommodate the changes as proposed without any additional financial support. Senator Elkins, Elton, if you'll excuse me, I do recall from my Geology 101 back in the Pleistocene that seismic is generally divided into two general branches, the earth movement and then the associated offshore. So it's looked at in generally those two pieces. But we should and will seek clarification to address your issue, because landslides is a significant risk associated with earthquake activity. So that was appreciate that note, and we will probably the folks that are here to testify will be able to provide some support for that. So with that, I would simply ask if you have any questions, and thank you for the opportunity to testify in support of this important legislation.
Do we have questions? Senator Wagner.
I see there's three fiscal notes here, none of them have any fiscal impact on them. Eventually, you've got an 11-person commission. What in the future do you see support for them as far as travel? And if your staff now can handle this commission, that's one thing. But if they're going to be doing some traveling and other expense-related items, what do you foresee in that?
It should be Senator Wagner, through the chair, it should be minimal. An awful lot of this activity can be done over the telephone and with teleconferencing. I do think it's important at appropriate times for the staff to get together. So there will, of course, at some point in time, be a need for some additional funding. I believe their original budget was $10,000, and we'll ask Rob to verify this. I think they're down to $6,000 now. So the cost would simply be per diem and transportation to attend meetings. But obviously, the more active this group is and the more of an impact that they have, there will be some required support for that travel and per diem.
Thank you. Commissioner, I'm just looking at some of the notes from last year's hearing that talked about the funding. And let's see. Originally, when the bill was first passed, or the commission was created, it was $28,000 that was built into the budget. And that money was in the governor's office. Why don't we have Pat Davidson that? Because I know that was part of the audit, too. They looked at sort of the money trail here. And I think that money, if I'm not wrong, Pat, has been incorporated into the DNR budget. Some of it on a year-to-year basis was lapsing, but that's part of the reason why the department's able to say they've got money in their budget to cover it, because they really have money in their budget to cover it.
For the record, my name is Pat Davidson with the Division of Legislative Audit. And when the commission was originally established, it was in the governor's office, and that was the summer of 2002, and the original appropriation was $33,500. At the end of FY03, the money hadn't been swept and got swept into one of the reserve funds. In 04, the commission was transferred to DNR, and the funding that was transferred into the base budget of the geological development was $28,900. In previous testimony, the former commissioner of DNR indicated he thought that amount of money was too much for the commission and was giving them an allocation of more like $10,000. So the funding for the commission's activity is already embedded in the geological development allocation. I did check prior to coming to this meeting the budget transactions for 06 and 07, and there's nothing particularly indicated with regard to this commission, either increases or decreases.
Okay. Thank you. Were there any other questions for the commissioner? Seeing none, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
And Pat, is there other points that you want to bring forth from the actual audit itself?
I believe Representative Ledoux covered most of those issues. We did in the report recommend the termination of the board simply because it was a non-functioning board. The other thing, though, is we recognize that there was overwhelming legislative support when the bill was initially passed. And looking and doing some research on these type of commissions, what we found was that the most tangible mitigation efforts actually occur in building codes and zoning ordinances, which is why we recommended the addition of two additional local government members, because it's local governments that control those issues. So getting out of the discussion phase to tangible efforts, we saw a lot of it happening at the local level and thought that increased representation would make that happen a little bit easier.
Okay. And those, with the appointments that have been made, that recommendation has been followed through on?
I believe the appointments to the board were as originally established at 9, and so.
Okay, we'll find out.
That's what their list is, 9.
Mr. Chair, I think the latest version of the bill provides a bump from 9 to 11.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Okay, other questions for Pat? Seeing none, thank you. Okay, we do have the chair of the Alaska Seismic Board, and Mr. John Aho. Aho? Are you online?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead. We can hear you. If you just identify yourself and your affiliation.
Yes, my name is Dr. John Aho, and I'm the chair of the Alaska Seismic Hazard Safety Commission. And I appreciate the opportunity to say a few words before the committee. Should I go ahead and start testifying now?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. As a short background, I have over 30 years of engineering experience in Alaska, having retired as a vice president and principal project manager with CH2M Hill. I've been involved as a designer or project manager in over 300 major projects throughout the state. And during my career, I've had the privilege of being actively involved in earthquake risk mitigation activities in Alaska. My background is in structural dynamics and earthquake engineering. I currently also serve on the National Board of Directors of the Earthquake Engineering Research Institute, and I chair the USGS Advanced National Seismic System Alaska Region Advisory Committee. So I have a distinct interest in everything that's going on as far as earthquakes and seismic is concerned. As you're all aware, Alaska is unique for having the highest earthquake hazard in the nation because of the high probabilities of strong ground motion and high tsunami hazard and the presence of a very high-risk infrastructure. There's increasing need for continuation of the commission that now exists. We need a commission with the goal to reduce earthquake risk by supporting the advancement of science and practice of earthquake engineering, improving understanding of the impacts of earthquakes, and promoting measures to reduce harmful effects of damaging earthquakes, and essentially address the tasks that are associated with House Bill 83. The current commission has been able to attract the expertise of committed earthquake professionals and interested individuals that are willing to devote the time and energy necessary to address the duties defined in the bill. In addition, the commission can also provide an effective means for integrating public, private, local, and state government input into important seismic risk mitigation decisions, and I think that's really lacking right now. As was mentioned before, the commission has had held actually three meetings, two that were in Anchorage and then one that was via the telephone to date, has identified recommendations and rationale for the seismic safety issues it would like to address once House Bill 83 passes and the commission is retained. You really have an energetic commission membership that's chomping at the bit to address these important risk mitigation issues. You know, the people that are devoting a great deal of time to this commission are really, really want it to succeed. I'd like to also note that I gave a presentation in Juneau to the State Emergency Response Commission a couple of days ago, and that commission passed a resolution to endorse retention of our commission. You may have that resolution in your hands right now. We've had many other groups that have indicated that they will be transmitting correspondence in support of commission retention also. You know, as the population of Alaska grows and the supporting infrastructure expands, we have an increasing risk of loss of life and property damage due to damaging earthquakes. We've been really fortunate in that we haven't had a truly devastating earthquake since 1964, but we were really reminded of what could happen by the 2002 Denali earthquake. I firmly believe it's just a matter of time before a significant earthquake will cause damage and loss in life, of life in one of or more Alaskans' urban centers. We need a commission such as ours to continue its efforts so we can provide leadership and ensure that as much as possible is being accomplished to mitigate those damages. After an earthquake, we also need a commission that can provide guidance as far as rapid and full recovery is concerned. In closing, I'd like to urge you to approve a retention of the commission. I believe this legislation will truly have a positive effect on seismic risk mitigation efforts in the future and could be instrumental in affecting life safety and property safety for future generations in Alaska. I think that's about all I had to say, and as you note, I had it written down so I could get as much in as possible in a short period of time. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Do you have any comments on the issue of the advisability of adding the words and tsunami to the statutes? How do you see your statutory charge, and do you see it broad enough to cover tsunamis that are the result of subsea seismic activity or avalanches that are triggered by seismic activity?
Well, I can understand why a tsunami was brought out specifically in the legislation, but I also am not sure what that means as far as eliminating other potential hazards that would result from seismic activity. I've always recognized, you know, seismic hazards as those hazards, anything that happens as a result of strong motions, earthquakes, or seismic activity. But you know, I don't know if mentioning tsunami would exclude landslides and other types of hazards that could be need to be addressed also.
Okay, thank you. Questions from committee members? Seeing none, we'll go on to Roger Schnell.
Yes, Roger Schnell here. I don't have anything to add specifically. I certainly echo our chair's position and strongly recommend that HB 83 be extended. Thank you.
Okay. Dennis Nottingham.
Did you say Dennis Nottingham?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm Dennis Nottingham. I think I've been here 45 years, but I'm getting too old to remember. And I sure want to appreciate being able to testify and listening to this testimony, which, by the way, has been excellent. The commissioner had some excellent points. I've had the opportunity to do engineering in Alaska and was a significant designer on the Trans-Alaska Pipeline, including checking the Denali Fault problem up there. And was always glad to see that it worked. Earthquake design was not very well known in the early 1970s when the Trans-Alaska Pipeline started. It was one of the first projects that truly was designed for seismic events. So as a result, I've had a kind of a real interest in this sort of thing. As far as tsunamis are concerned, I noticed there was a lot of discussion on that. You can have tsunamis from just landslides without seismic events. So they are a standalone phenomena in that respect. They're called local tsunamis. And we had one in Skagway once, which created great confusion in state government because there was no commission such as this to shed light on what it was. And so as a result, there was a lot of money spent, a lot of litigation, a lot of finger-pointing that was totally unnecessary just because we didn't have the backup in the state to realize what was happening. So I'm really in support of this legislation, and I really hope it basically stays as written with the tsunami language, because it is distinct in some cases. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions? Senator Elton.
Thanks, and I appreciate your testimony, Mr. Nottingham, because the
Skagway example is a great example of a tsunami that was not created by a seismic event. I mean, part of our history here in Southeast also includes Lituya Bay, which was a seismic event, created a slide that then created a tsunami. And mm-hmm. I certainly don't have any problems with adding tsunami, because I think the point Mr. Nottingham has just made is a very important point. As long as we can be assured by legal people that by adding tsunami, it indicates that we're not interested in those other kinds of events that could be created by a seismic event.
Okay, we'll go next to, Linda Freed.
Hello, thank you. I'd like to introduce myself. I'm Linda Freed. I am the local government representative on the current commission, but I'm speaking today as the city manager of the city of Kodiak. And I would like to let you know that we have not been able to hear all of the committee's proceedings here, so I may be redundant, or hopefully I'll answer some of the questions, but I believe it's Senator Elton that we can't hear. The City of Kodiak has passed a resolution supporting the continuation of the commission as a community that is subject to the potential risk, as many other places in the state are, of both earthquakes and tsunamis. We're very concerned about having a commission like this that's available to provide the kind of advice and recommendations that we as a community need to protect our citizens. We would urge you to pass this legislation and get it implemented. And the City of Kodiak is so concerned about this issue and considers this a significant enough commission that the City of Kodiak has paid for my participation as a commission member so that we didn't draw down on the financial resources of the state of Alaska for our participation. The City of Kodiak supports all of the comments that have already been made about the commission, but the one comment that I've heard from citizens in my community was the surprise that there had even been a sunset date placed on the commission initially. The community members have said to me, the risk of earthquakes and tsunamis for our community doesn't appear to ever go away. We always have to be prepared. We have to be ready to respond. Why would there be a sunset date at all on a commission like this that's so important to our community and to the state of Alaska? So I would just like to pass that on to you all and to consider whether a 3-year sunset date is appropriate. At this point, we'd like to see the commission continue, and if it's necessary to do so with a sunset date, we would support that. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. Thank you.
Thank you. It's a general rule of thumb, all boards and commissions in the state of Alaska have periodic sunset reviews by the legislature. It's not any indication of less importance on this one. And in fact, the sunset review is what highlighted the fact that the commission lay dormant for all those years. So it actually spurred the administration on to make the appointments to get the commission up and running. Next, we'll go to Gary Carver.
Yes, thank you. My name is Gary Carver, Dr. Gary Carver. I'm a geologist, and I've had about 35 years of experience working in the area of earthquake hazards and earthquake safety. I'm the vice chair of the Alaska Seismic Hazard Safety Commission and also a member of the Kodiak Island Borough Planning and Zoning Commission. And like Linda, I also will wear two hats today, I guess. First, I'd like to mention again the point concerning the recent couple of years ago experience with regard to the Denali earthquake, the Denali Fault earthquake, a near magnitude 8 earthquake, which generated a fault rupture which transected or crossed the Trans-Alaska pipeline. One of my first jobs after receiving my PhD was to work as a member of the team of geologists and engineers in identifying the fault hazards for the alignment and construction of the pipeline. And I remember my my great anxiety the morning of November 3rd, 2002, when I learned that this large earthquake had occurred in the interior. The work that was done then is a great example of how applying knowledge to development prior to the occurrence of such events can generate great benefits, and indeed that was the case. The fault moved about 18 feet at the point where it crossed the pipeline, and because of the information that was available and the aggressive and positive approach that was made by the state and by the Alyeska Pipeline Service Company at the time of the design and construction, the pipe experienced relatively little damage and did not fail. Indeed, it was up and operating in just a scant, I believe, 60 hours after the earthquake. This kind of example is one that really speaks with great authority to the value of having this kind of a commission available to help guide the state and municipalities in their business as time goes on, related to our seismic hazards. Alaska, as you know, has more earthquakes than any other state in the nation. Indeed, we have a significant part of the world's earthquakes. And with regard to those earthquakes, they're located in large part in the more populated parts of Alaska, especially the areas around Southeast Alaska, the areas around the Cook Inlet and Prince William Sound, and on out into the Kodiak area. And there's also a very active seismic area around Fairbanks. So this commission has much work to do. From the standpoint of my local participation in municipal government here on the Planning and Zoning Commission, again, I'd like to mention that we have just recently undertaken an assessment of the seismic safety of our schools. This is something that has been developed locally, kind of without the assistance of any kind of advisory group such as this commission at the inception. And what we've learned is that indeed we have several schools which are in need of considerable retrofitting and mitigation in order to make them safe. It's this kind of thing that the commission could help bring to bear on other communities as well by providing guidance and information that would be of great value to them. So I would like to encourage support of HB 53 and hope that your committee will move it on through the process. Thank you very much for the opportunity to address you.
Thank you. Next, Rod Kumbelik.
Yes, this is Rod Kumbelik. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you, Chairman Theriault and members of the committee. My name is Rod Kumbelik, and I am the Deputy Director of the Division of Geological and Geophysical Surveys, located in Fairbanks and part of the Department of Natural Resources. I won't duplicate any other very good testimony that's been given so far here. What I'd like to do is to provide a little bit about my perspective as a geologist and as a member of this commission representing DNR. As geologists, we see the scientific side of earthquakes. In particular, geologists see evidence of major prehistoric earthquakes in the geologic record that gives us an idea of the frequency of those events over a long period of time. We also see the geologic effects of historic earthquakes and that are largely due to ground failures, landslides, tsunamis, as these effects that are generally the most cause the most damage. And so seeing this side of earthquakes gives us some idea of the variability in their destructive potential. But this scientific information is of no use to our society unless it is used in the improvement of land use and building practices and to help develop cost-effective public policy for reducing earthquake losses and saving lives. And science is just one part of a process that must also include things like land use planning and building codes and engineering, construction practices, insurance, as well as emergency management. Now, many of these kinds of activities are already taking place in Alaska. They occur separately at various levels without a lot of coordination. This commission is the first and only body that brings together these interests in the public and private sectors in a common forum with the goal of improving seismic safety. The commission, as you've heard from Chairman John Aho, has begun to identify the significant issues that the commission needs to be addressed to further reduce earthquake losses in Alaska. So passing House Bill 83 will allow the commission to continue pursuing these issues. I thank you for the opportunity to testify in support of the bill.
Thank you. Next is Dave Liebersbach.
Good afternoon, Chairman Terrio and members of the committee. This is David Liebersbach, Director of the Alaska Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management. I'm going to just add some information in support of this bill. You've heard all of a lot of what I was going to talk about, but a few things to clarify. One, my agency serves as the support organization to the State Emergency Response Commission that Dr. Aho talked about earlier. And in fact, at our last meeting last week, the CERC did pass a resolution in support of House Bill 83. I'm not sure that has gotten signed by the two co-chairs and forwarded to the legislature yet, but I serve for part of the time as the co-chair that morning, and I do know that that resolution was passed. Second of all, most of the western states, California, Oregon, Washington, and even places like Utah and Nevada have seismic safety commissions. Up until a few years ago, Alaska was one of the few states in the West that did not have a commission of this sort, and we are the most active seismic state, so it would seem reasonable that we have one and we continue with it. I serve as a member of the Western State Seismic Policy Council, which is a council made up of the 13 Western states and several Western provinces of Canada. And it has the primary membership of that are the emergency managers from each of those states and territories and the geologist or seismologist from each of those. We're expanding that membership to include a representative from the seismic safety commissions of each state and or province that has one. So I see an increasing role there in terms of information sharing with other states that are fairly seismically active. And the last thing I suppose I would clarify a bit, there are non-seismic tsunamis. The one was referenced to in terms of landslides that may not be seismically created. The other one, and you can say it's seismic or non-seismic, but that we haven't discussed, is the role with reference to volcanoes. We obviously are a very volcano-active state. We've all been watching that for the last 2 or 3 weeks. And one of the concerns of the volcano we had early on, although not right now, is a possible underwater blowout that would have potentially caused a tsunami. Now, the question comes, is are volcanoes seismic or not? They do make the ground move and may be considered in that, but there are things that can cause tsunamis, usually not huge ones, but it doesn't take a huge tsunami necessarily to kill people or to destroy things. In fact, the original term original interpretation of the word tsunami is Japanese for harbor wave, large waves that occur within a harbor. With that, I would be open for any questions.
Thank you. Do we have questions? I don't see any. Do we have anybody else on teleconference that wishes to testify on the bill? Seeing none, how about here in Juneau? Is there anybody else? If you'd come forward, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Sheldon Winters. I'm a lobbyist for State Farm. I'm here just to simply voice our support for extending the commission. It was only a short while ago that the legislature had the forethought of creating the commission in the first place, and we believe quite strongly that in a few years, the Alaska public will be thankful that this legislature had the forethought of extending the commission. So we thank you for your support.
Okay. For the committee members, thank you. It is my intent to have a CS drafted for action at our next meeting. Need to have just a little bit of discussion about, and we will ask the drafters about the language and the advisability of adding tsunami. Just looking at the original bill, in the findings section, it talked about safety practices related to seismic hazards. It really gives no indication even in the findings of whether, how broadly they intended that to be interpreted. We do have to need a little bit of discussion on the length in which you want to extend it. The draft or the auditors are suggesting that with most boards and commissions, we go with a longer date unless a particular board or commission has indicated some problem that there's a sense that needs to be more immediate follow-up. Since this group has had trouble getting up and running, I guess I'd like to hear from the committee members whether you'd like to perhaps set a four-year sunset or now that they are apparently up and running, go with a longer one, or Senator Wagner.
Well, first, I don't think it was this group's problem of getting up and running. I think it was just the lack of attention by various governor's offices, and I think we can rest assured from what the testimony today was that they're going to be an active group, and I'd go out with a sunset around 10 years.
Okay. Anybody else want to weigh in on shorter versus longer? Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, I would just suggest that it may be open for debate, but clearly the 2008 date that's in the present bill creates, I think, some real problems. I mean, all of these appointees' term is up mid-year this year, and I think we need to extend the life of the commission at least long enough so that they can do the staggered terms and get going the way other commissions generally operate. Because 2008, all we did is appointments made in June for another 2 years. And I don't think that's fair to the commission.
Okay. Well, perhaps what I'll do then is I'll talk to Pat, our auditor, and see the flow of all those commissions coming back, if it makes sense to maybe have it 7 years, so that it's not on a heavy year. That might be the thing to do. And then, of course, there's the cleanup language with regards to the conditional effective date and whatnot that we mentioned. So with that, I think we'll wrap it up today, and it will be my intent then to have it back for final action at our meeting on Thursday. And with that, we are adjourned.